Good morning. As we gather here this morning, I'd like to invite you to participate in a bit of visualization. If you would, picture this stage as a scale. And over here, all the way to this side of the stage, is God. And all the way over here to this side of the stage, this is the most vile person that you can think of that ever lived on this face of this earth. Now, while you're picturing that, I want you to picture that person who is what we would say is ungodly. And while you're thinking of that person and where they fit on that scale between the most vile and God, and while you are thinking of that person, I want you to think of a righteous person. Picture where they fit on that scale between the most vile and God. By most righteous, let's talk about one who is morally upright. Also, I want you to consider a third person, one who is called a good person, that is, one who does good works. And put that person on this scale between God and that most vile person that you can think of. Where do these all fit? Did you maybe put the righteous and the good person somewhere here? Or maybe somewhere in the middle between them and God? Is Hitler down there? How about any other mass murderer, rapist, serial killers? Where do they fit? Now picture yourself on this scale. Where do you fit? Do we see ourselves somewhere in the middle here? Where does God see us? Because God looks, and as Bobby mentioned in his sermon this morning, sin is something that we do, not something that we inherit. Righteousness is not something that we inherit, it is something that we do. All have sinned and have come short of God's glory. And without the blood of Christ, God sees every one of us over here with Hitler, with Jack the Ripper, with any of those who are unrepentant, unpenitent sinners, unbelievers. There is no distinction, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God that he sent Jesus so that we can be justified by his grace as the gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God put forward Jesus as the one to take away the sins of the penitent believer who is baptized. While we were still weak, as Paul writes in Romans 5, while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah, all those vile, filthy people over here that we had on that end of the scale, he died for them too. The requirements to enter the kingdom are no different, but Christ died for them. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Perhaps for a good person, one would dare to even die. Who would you die for? Who would you give your life as a substitute for another? And that shows love and the mercy and the willingness of Jesus, because he died for all of us, for all who had sinned, which is every one of us. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from God's wrath. As I said, we are all started out
over here. We were so far away from God that we say, how could God ever see us?
But God sees us. And he loves us. And he showed all that by the blood that we have, through baptism, come into contact with and now share in this communion with Jesus to remember what he has done for us.
Would you bow with me? Lord, we come before you this morning thanking you that you sent Jesus so that we may be brought over to righteousness with you. We thank you that he willingly died for us that we may be saved. And we ask that we remember his death as we partake of this bread, which represents his body. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, as we prepare ourselves to take of this fruit of the vine, this juice that represents the blood that was shed for us, that we may be able to draw closer to you, to draw closer to God, that in that day we may be able to join you in worship and salvation praise as we enter into the rest that is promised. Father, we thank you, Father, for your Son Jesus, who willingly offered up himself to die for us even in our sin, so that we can be justified in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper, and as we take this opportunity now to take up a collection for the continuing work of this church, and we consider the life that Jesus lived for us, the death that he endured, and the salvation that comes from his from what he has done for us. And we continue in Romans 5, verse 10, says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And we, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received reconciliation." And We take up this collection not because we take up this collection because we rejoice. There is joy in our hearts for what Jesus has done for us, for the plan that God put together for the foundations of this world. And so, yes, we take up the collection so that the work of this church may continue. But the work of this church can only continue while we continue to rejoice in the things that Jesus has done for us. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, as we come to you and we thank you for the reconciliation that comes through the blood of your Son, we consider the joy that we receive as part of that gift through the Holy Spirit. And as we take up this collection to continue this work, we pray that the things we do, the things we say as when we leave this place, show the joy that is within us, that we do rejoice in what you have done for us, that more may be drawn closer to you, may be drawn to your word, and ultimately, Father, may be drawn into your church, into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today, I'm singing today. Because he's faithful.